CBS Radio brings you The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Ah, well, can't sit here all day. I guess I better get to work.
It's going to be another hot day, too. Look at the thermometer already.
Yeah, I know. Oh, hate to go to work. One nice thing about living out here by the lake, you know, you can always put your suit on and go in for a swim and cool off, huh?
Yes, I must say it's really nice. But I don't do it.
Don't do what? Don't go for a swim?
Why?
What do you mean?
Well, that's what I thought I'd do, you know, when we build out here. But by the time I change into my suit and I get down to the beach, I've got Bobby to look after so I don't dare swim out too far. And you have to get out a fair distance before it's really deep enough to swim, you know.
Oh, that's what we liked about it. You go in so gradually, you know. It's nicer for the children.
Well, safer. I know, but I don't get much swimming in. And then I get back up to the house here, and I dry off, and I get dressed again, and hang the suits up, and then I run around looking for all the wet towels to hang up for Betsy and all her friends who come to swim.
Well, look, you ought to have Bobby a
little... change.
Kids ought to hang up their own suits and towels.
Well, Betsy does, dear, but there's always one wet towel I find in the middle of the floor somewhere.
Well,
I don't know.
You're not tough enough. That's what's the matter
with
you.
Well,
it's true, honey. I've always said that.
And sand all over,
yes,
you know.
Sure. Well, you should make it a rule. If they want to come here to go swimming, they have to hang up their towels or they can't come again. That's all. Just do that. Look, I got to run along. I'll see you this afternoon, huh?
Make everything sound so simple. Yeah, here, don't forget Betsy's letter. Now, she wants you to mail it.
Oh, Betsy's letter? Who's she writing to?
Bunny. Remember, dear?
Oh,
her
yeah.
counselor at camp.
Bunny.
I heard nothing but Bunny this and Bunny that. Apparently, Bunny is the most wonderful creature she ever met. There is nothing that Bunny can't do and do better than anybody else in the world.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, a little hero worship. Betsy's just at the right age for that, you know.
Well, I wouldn't mind, but Betsy didn't even write to us all the time she was gone. Even I had the cards addressed and sent, you know. She's written letters to this Bunny and even pays me 4 cents for the stamp.
All right. Give me the letter. I'll mail it. Now, look, when I get home this afternoon, I'll watch Bobby. You can have yourself a good swim, huh?
Oh, for goodness sakes, I thought you'd gone to work.
No, I haven't gone yet.
I went upstairs to make the bed, and I heard footsteps down here. Well, what are you looking for, dear?
Well, what do you suppose?
Oh, really?
Yes, really. All right, all right. Now, look, never mind the lecture. Just...
Well, I do think it's past the funny stage when you know the millions of mornings we have raced around looking for your car keys.
Darling, it is hardly millions.
Well, it seems like it. Why don't you put the car keys in a special place when you get home each day? You'd at least put them in your pocket, and then even if you change suits the next morning, we'd know where they are. But you walk in the house each night with the keys in your hand. You just set them down in a different place.
I know.
Well, if you know why, dear.
Honey, please, dear mine, I am sorry. I am in a hurry. Wouldn't it be more constructive to help me look for them? I am due at the office, where I have a job, you remember, which supports you and the family. Now, darling, instead of lecturing me and going on, I know, I admit it, I should have done all these things, but right now I'm in a hurry. Seems to me that you might just...
Well, instead of rushing all over aimlessly, let us calm down. Let's try to reconstruct what you did when you came home yesterday. It'll save time in the long run. Now, what did you do when you walked in the door?
Honey, how do I remember what I did? That was yesterday. I just came in the house. And
no,
I...
it seems to me. That's a yesterday. What was yesterday? It seems to me I was sitting on the porch with Bobby, and you came in and flopped down. You probably flung the keys on the porch table.
Yeah.
Come in that
yeah,
way.
That's right. Well, all right, come on. Let's look on the porch table.
Well, they won't be on the table, dear. I cleared it off for dinner last night.
Oh. So that means you must have picked them up. All right, what did you do with them?
I love that. Now it's all my fault.
Oh, well, darling, I mean, you had them last
well,
night.
Wait a minute. Let me think. I may have put them in the windowsill in the kitchen. It's where I generally put them when I spring. Oh, yes. Here they are.
My golly. No wonder I can never find them. Here you are scolding me, and you're the one who took them.
Oh, go to work. I'll see you tonight. mean the car doesn't start?
Darling, I don't know how else to put it. My car doesn't start. I'll just have to take yours.
You better take mine. Mine is down at the garage being fixed. Well, you could see that it's gone, couldn't you?
Well, I didn't even look.
Well, you didn't have to look. You could certainly see my car isn't out there, and I told you that...
I didn't think then. Look, when my car wouldn't start, I just rushed back in here to get your car keys. Well, I'll have to call a taxi, I guess. Oh, boy, I am going to be so late to work.
I told you yesterday I'd left the car at the garage, and Ann Lindell gave me a ride back home. I told you that. I went into a whole story about how I went down there.
Well,
it'll
be crazy, I'm telling you. Well, all right, you did tell me. I forgot, that's all.
A taxi costs so much from way out here.
Oh, Pete, save money. That's what I meant to do yesterday, cash a check. Well, I got to borrow some money from you, that's all.
Didn't you cash a check?
No, I just said I forgot to.
I haven't a dime.
Why?
Well, I guess that's just about what I have. That's the reason you were cashing a check, because I'm flat. I told you that yesterday morning. You said, I'm cashing a check today.
You must have so more than a dime.
Well, I don't think I have more than a dime. But I think that's exactly what I've got.
Oh, honey, go look, will you? Look, I've got a nickel and two pennies.
How'd you let yourself get so low? Where's my purse now?
You took practically everything I had yesterday.
And I needed money to pay Mrs. Kenny.
Yeah, well,
here it is. Just a second. Let me look.
And I signed my lunch check. I remember I had just enough for the tip. I was going to go to the bank then. I guess Fred walked back to my office with me, and we got to talking, you know, the way you do, and I walked right by the bank, and I forgot about it.
Now,
when I got through work, I just drove on home. What do you got?
Just what I thought. Dime.
Oh.
You have a nickel and two pennies. Put them together. That's 17 cents.
Look, I cannot take a taxi with only 17 cents. Honey, haven't you got some money around the house? You're always hoarding money, you know.
Yes, I generally keep $10 for emergencies and shakes, but it seems to me that recently I had to use it.
Darling, look. Will you go and look? Honey, go look.
I'm just trying to think.
I've got to get to work.
I know. I'm trying to think where we might have some other money. In the meantime, look through all the coat pockets in the closet. When I get change, I often just put it in my coat pocket, you know, and generally there's money rattling around. And so look in all the pockets in all of my coats in there, you know.
Coat pocket. You are so careless with money.
I'll be glad I am if you find some. Look in my raincoat pocket and in my short tan coat. I'm sure I took the $10 emergency money out of Shakespeare. I always keep it in the taming of the crew.
Yeah. Yes. Here's some money rattling around in your raincoat. Here, wait a minute. What is... Oh, pennies. There's a whole fistful of pennies. There's all...
Well, it's penny change I generally put in my pocket. I don't put dollar bills and things like that. No. The money isn't in Shakespeare here.
12, 14... I dropped it. Wait a minute. 14. 16 pennies.
Well, we've got 17 cents, so that plus 16 is 34 cents. Now you got. Now.
33 cents. Boy, you and your arithmetic.
Oh, yes, 33. Uh-huh.
Right, 33.
Yes, you're right. All right, 33.
Sometimes I think you ought to go back to school along with Betsy. Well, did you find the $10 in Shakespeare?
No, I just said I didn't. I think I used it a couple of weeks ago to pay Mrs. Tenney, too, and I meant to replace it.
You mean to tell me that we have no money? That we have no money in this house at all except this miserable 33 cents?
Well, now, just a minute. We have not exhausted all resources. Let's look around in the desk drawers and the ashtrays. You always complain about my putting money and bobby pins and buttons in ashtrays, but maybe for once you'll be grateful. Let me see what's in here.
What do you got?
Here's a 50-cent piece.
Oh, no. Good. Well, goodness. Here, give it here. That's 83 cents.
I'm sorry. It's a button. It was under some stamps and it's silvery. Looking at it, just that size.
A button.
I thought it wasn't... It's off Bobby's snowsuit. Yes, that's what it is. I don't remember to sew that on to there. Put it where I can. Well, forget where it is. Now, listen, I just bought $2 worth of 4-cent stamps. Do you think the taxi driver would take stamps?
No, I do not. I'm not going to ask him.
Can't you take the taxi to work and then ask him to wait while you go up to the office and borrow from somebody or go to the bank?
The bank isn't open at this hour. Taxi can't double park at the office. Can't park there at all, as a matter of fact. He can't. You cannot park in front of that building.
Why?
The bus stop.
Well, he could park when the bus isn't stopping there, couldn't he? He could park for 1 minute.
Johnny, by the time I took the elevator up to the office, borrowed money, That'll take some time. And got back down in the elevator, that taxi driver would have a ticket. I'd have to pay for that.
Well, if you got a nice driver, I'll bet he'd trust you, dear. Just tell him, you know, who you are and where you work and that you'll mail him the money. I mean, he might be lonely
about it. I am not going
to
take a taxi from way out here and then tell him I don't have any money. I mean, he'd be willing his rights to cart me off to the police station.
Oh, he's not going to do that.
I wouldn't blame him.
Town, really,
now,
dear.
Now, you must have some money salted away somewhere, honey. You always do.
Well, I might have some in my winter purses.
Look around, will
every
you?
Every fall that I get them out, I do find some money left in there. I'll go look. In the meantime, go through all the desk drawers and look down behind the cushions in the sofa and the big chairs. So it's falling out of your pocket.
Oh, yeah, all right. It's a good idea. Okay, now hurry up, will you, Don? Let's see what we can round up.
Oh, honestly, I haven't used this purse for years. I thought I'd thrown it out here. I found this quarter. It's gotten almost black. It's so tarnished, but it is a quarter.
Well, it's still only 25 cents more. That makes 58 cents. Plus the nickel and three pennies I found in the sofa. You're still not enough for a taxi.
Call one of your friends. Ask him to pick you up.
Oh, cool. For heaven's sakes, it's way out of the way for any of them. Besides, none of them go to work this early. Tell you, we should never have moved out here. That was a mistake, without any bus service.
At breakfast, you were saying how nice it was. We did move way out here by the lake.
Oh, boy, this is great. This is just great. No car, no money. You know, I'll have to walk a mile around the lake, another mile to Walnut Street to the bus stop.
Oh, I don't think it's quite that far, dear.
Darn near.
No, I don't think. Would you want to take Betsy's bicycle?
Oh,
well, you could, and there's a
kidding.
Gas... I'm not kidding at all. There's a gas station there. You could leave the bicycle with a man and explain... We'll pick it up later today. Well, now, wait a minute. How can we pick it up? My car is being fixed. And I'll have to call them to come and pick yours up, or else fix it here. I suppose you could ride Betsy's bicycle all the way downtown, dear?
No, I am not going to ride a bicycle all the way downtown.
No, just ride it to the gas station and then take the bus back today to the gas station and pick up the bicycle there again and ride down home. No?
No.
Oh.
Look at the girl's bike.
Well, so what? Isn't it better than walking all the way? Who's going to notice it's a girl's bike or a boy's bike?
How could we have allowed ourselves not to have any money in this house? Any money at all in this house?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just got another brilliant inspiration. Come here. Come here with me. Come on. Come on.
What?
Look in the bookcase. Look for Alice in Wonderland. Hurry up. Look in the back of the book.
Alice in Wonderland?
In the back here and see if there's something tucked. Yes. Pull out the books in the second row and look in back. She hides it. Yes. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Yes.
Who hides what? Betsy?
Oh, yes, here. Wait a minute.
What?
Look. Look at the dollar bill.
Heaven's sakes. Where in Sam Hill did Betsy get all that money?
She saves her allowance, gets it changed into dollar bills, and hoards it. I tell you, she is the tightest thing in the world. It kills her to spend a nickel. Now, be sure and get a check cash so we can replace it. I'll have to tell her you borrowed it. I'm sure she checks each day to make sure it's still here. Some that Aunt Effie sent her, you know, and then for her birthday.
14 $1 bills. That's the modern-day child for you. More money than her parents.
Look, let's be glad she saves instead of spends. Now, call your taxi, dear.
The Couple Next Door stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
This was an original old radio broadcast, presented by Radio of Yesteryear. Carol Martin, thank you.